So, you're with your honey and you're making out when the phone rings. You answer it and the voice is...
What are you doing with my daughter?
You tell her girl and she say...
My dad is dead.
Then who was phone?
Hello and welcome to the premier spot on the internet for where we celebrate all types of failed horror. That's right. I feel like we've been really focused in the last couple of episodes on just kind of a couple of spots of failed horror, but we are well aware that there's a beautiful, vast, rich world of failed horror for us to go and frolic through those fields.
Frolic through the horror fields.
Frolic through the fields of Chainsaw Men and Hook Men and...
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of things.
Speaking of frolic, if you want to tune on over to our YouTube, Spoops React, which is at the Spoops Pod YouTube channel, you can actually see our producer frolic towards danger right on over there.
I truly do.
So, without further ado, let us dive into the first story of tonight.
The Mark by Creepy Xbox. I'm so delighted by that name, by the way. Okay. So I was just doing what I do, being a gamer. So I was playing a game and I heard a light gunshot while I was wearing headphones. So I didn't know if it was in the game or not. I just sat there for a minute and pulled myself together. I heard it again, but I had my headphones off this time. I was worried. So I looked outside and I didn't see anything, only the grass and trees. I lived across the street from a forest, so I got more worried than I should have been. But then I heard a noise from my basement. Now I was worried. The house I owned was very old and the floors always made a squeaking sound. I had a gun, so I went for it. I opened the closet and there was a man standing there staring at me, and he has both his eyelids cut out and dangling, and blood-stained shirt in the very bottom of his pants, too, had a lot of little marks on his arms and almost 100 of them. I felt I was looking up upon the devil himself. His arms had many scary stuff on them, like, "You are dead, and this is your last day." So I slammed the closet and turned around, and right in front of my face was the man. I was scared, and I opened the closet, and he was in there too, and they walked towards me, and I screamed, and they simultaneously said, "Shh, it's done." And then they said together again, "The mark," and said it about 10 times in a row. I just stood there in fear. Then their heads started tilting and they both shot out tongues and almost hit me, but they missed it, and I hopped onto the bed and ran off into the living room. And then there were many, so I ran into my room and slammed the door shut and turned on my computer to try to look him up. One forum came up and it said only two words, "Mark." And then my door disappeared. And then they walked in and I jumped out of my window and they got me while I was hurt, and now I'm one of them riding from the group, and I found out what they were and what they wanted.
Well,
yep.
I gotta say, like, so
well, at least I'm glad he found out yeah. what they wanted.
Yeah. didn't bother to relay that to anybody. But he knows. He sure does. No. So when like with the mark and stuff, I just think of like pirates in the spot. Like, you know how like
the black spot.
Like that, like as soon as the mark and they marked him and he turned, I was like, it's like the pirate spot.
You're marked. You're cursed.
Also, just again, didn't he say basement and then it turned into closet Is that on it? Okay.
Teleporting man. Yeah. Well, actually, teleporting group.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they kept multiplying.
Yeah. That's the first thing you got to worry about when it comes to the mock. You got to worry about the groups of them. Also, when they use the starter pistol outside to mock when they're going to start coming inside.
Yeah.
On your mark, get set, get the mark. It's done.
I love how they're like, it is done. It hasn't started yet, but it is done.
It's okay. I just imagine this man with all these creepy things written on his arms.
Now,
and
when,
his eyelids cut off and dangling, just grabbing this poor kid and being like,
Now, when it says they had many scary stuff on them, the arms, like, are we talking... Because, you know, they said that he had lots of scratches on his arms. Was it the scratches that spelled this? Or did he just write Sharpie over top of the scratches?
That's an excellent question. Also, his arms are liars.
Yeah.
His arms said, you're dead.
They're fruit roll-up tattoos. That's what it is.
I'm just imagining it's like the fruit by the foot that Jeff the Killer can get when he goes into his Walmart. It's like the, hey, look, it's the Jeff the Killer one. It says, shh, 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 go to sleep. And also, you're dead. Man, I love these.
Oh, man. Also, I had a gun, so I went for it. Didn't say that he had the gun with him. He never used the gun.
It's done. It's done.
Oh man.
He wanted to go shoot them and the cult people were like, shh.
It's done.
It's done. It is done. You know, honestly, that would be the most reassuring way that a serial killer could kill me. I'd be like panicking, trying to figure out how to get out of the situation and be like, shh, 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 you're fine.
Chill out. You're dead now.
It's done. You can't do it. You're okay.
Resistance is futile, but like in a comforting way.
Yeah, yeah. Come here.
It's okay.
And it's
you're one of us.
And it's not even murder. It's like,
oh, come on, that was off camera. It was so good. He was over. Stephen was over there, and he's like, yes. You're it's okay.
And you know, it's hard for us to mimic because he was doing it with his weak arm.
His
cripple arm. So, you know, it was like bending in a weird way, but you know.
Okay. So I know we don't have a lot of time left for this story, so I want to go on my tangent, which is the first story that I have found for the Spoops that has an author associated with it, which is part of the reason I got so excited, right? Creepy Xbox is the writer of this. And I looked him up, and he's on the fantasy wiki, right? And his little intro to the page is, it used to be, oh, the ongoing drama. It used to be, hello, I'm Creepy Xbox. And I'm going to be writing two creepypastas soon, and I will name them The Creepy Xbox and The Mark. Have a creepy day. And then he edited it too. Soon. Ellipses. And that was it. He's never put out the Creepy Xbox, as far as I can tell. And I need that story in my life.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I'd actually have hopes from a video game horror from, because like, you know, like, this wasn't bad. Like, we had a monster.
Okay, okay, that's generous. The man doesn't know how to pluralize words. He keeps adding apostrophe S to the ends of words, assuming that pluralizes it. No, the tree owns a lot of stuff.
Now, I will say, in his favor, though, good description of a monster.
Indeed.
Okay, yeah.
Like, we actually...
I looked up upon the face of Satan himself.
Yeah, like, we were... Because, you know, one of our biggest reoccurring things here is they don't show us the spooky. They just kind of, like, hint that something happened.
Then he died.
Yeah, and then he died.
Okay, well, like, how the ending went, where it was, and then they got me because, well, I was hurt, and now I'm writing this from my group, and I found out what they were and what they wanted. The end? The end? What do you mean, the end? You didn't resolve anything. You were just like, I have a secret. I have a nasty little dirty secret that I can't tell you about.
But we know what they look like.
Okay, yes, no. We know what one of them looked like, and apparently they all look the exact same as him. Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay. I can, it's not great. It's not perfect. I like that we actually got a monster.
Okay, that's fair. Actually, you know what? While we're here, rating.
Yes.
Let's get to the rating. Let's find out what we really think.
2. Spoopy.
Okay, now I'm trying to put myself inside of the story.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Like, I open my basement closet door, one of the two, and a man with his eyeballs dangling out. And
no, he was in his bedroom. He opened the closet.
Oh, I thought it said he opened the basement.
Yes, no. We're all very confused about space, especially when he ran away from them, went downstairs, and then ran back into his bedroom. Yep.
But so, yeah, open store, man, eyeballs dangling there, all cut up, looks like Satan himself. Yeah, I'm going to be, that's getting into, you know, terrifying.
But he's so comforting. He's such a, It's done.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying too. Like, scary, but like also nurturing.
Okay.
Skirturing.
Maternal. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
5. But no, 2. Spoopy.
I think, okay, in my like ideal world, first off, the story would have much clearer sense of space.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm constantly confused about what's going on and where it's going on. Number 2, you really need to like flesh out the monster and make it more of a thing and get that group dynamic and you panicking as you're running upstairs and downstairs and there's a person there and how could that person be there, and then all of a sudden you're turning around and you're confused.
One's just like slamming his head into the window over and over again.
Oh, that would be dopest.
The eyeballs just dangling in the breeze as he's moving his head back and forth.
That would be the dopest way to start this story. Instead of a gunshot, you hear bang. Just one solitary bang, and you can't tell if it's coming from the real world or from the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And then bang again. And then you're like, that sounded way too loud to be from the video game. And then bang, and then bang, and then bang. And then you look, and then like you see something like from the outside light reflecting into like the kitchen window. You can see the silhouette of something repeatedly hitting the window. And then you hear the crash of the window open. And then you go upstairs.
Yeah.
That would be
really good.
That would be like the best start to that. Especially if the person who came upstairs did have a little bit of dangling eyeball action.
Gotta love viscera. The dangle.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to rate this a 3. There's potential here. The grammar's awful. And I'm really confused about the space. But if this happened to me, it's not like being attacked by 250,000 computers where I'd be laughing and then die. I would, in at this case, I would be screaming as I die.
As you That's join the fair. Collective.
Yeah.
It's a 3 for me for the same reasons. I think if I did put myself into the story and then I found out what they wanted in the first place, then that number might be different. It might be higher. It might be lower.
Yeah.
You know, they might be be looking to take over the world. They might be out of sugar.
They're just this gives for me salesmen for their fantastic knives.
This gives
They've got
me
these great knives, and if you work for them, they'll give you $20.75 over
I got
the summer.
These scratches.
This gives me the I can't tell you you're not a monk. Story vibe where, where like it's like, and I found out what they wanted. I can't tell you, you're not part of the collective.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that awful joke and how it made me want to cry and die. It's almost as bad as the Cheerio joke.
Oh yeah,
it's like a paywall in the middle of a manga.
Except in this case, it's a death wall.
Exactly.
You want to find out what happened, you had to die.
Pay with your life.
So
to pay with your life.
Moving on here, like you said, we explore all kinds of horror. And,
absolutely.
I've been doing some digging into some of these cryptids, and I found something that is just absolutely delightful. So before we get too deep into this, I want to talk about the alien big cats, because it's this is the species that this thing originates from. So an alien big cat is basically over in, the United Kingdom specifically, there are a whole bunch of big cats. We're talking like, you know, lions, tigers, cougars, oh my. And it's just, you know, they would see them in like secluded swampy spaces. And so some people theorize that, you know, people were dumping their exotic pets and, you know.
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. How could that be a plausible explanation? Tell me about how they're alien in design.
Well, so the alien actually comes from like not belonging, like how, you know, we will sometimes say that, you know, illegal immigrants are alien. So that's the, yeah, it's not alien in the terms of from outer space. It's alien in the terms of not supposed to be within those borders.
I'm so sad right now. I had this picture of a puma driving a UFO.
Now, I will say,
so this is just, This cryptid is just foreign cats.
No. That is the alien big cat. The mine is an alien.
Oh. Yes!
Lovely.
Mine is called Fiskerton Phantom. And
that was my nickname in high school. How'd you know?
Just real quick, go ahead and look at that.
Oh my God!
pop that up. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I will definitely.
It looks like a Furby who's done chest day.
I'll definitely have an image pop up on our YouTube. So if you're listening via Spotify, you can go over there, or you can just look up Fiskerton Phantom. Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you the description. Fiskerton Phantom is 4 feet tall and jet black. It has been reported to be either bear-like or panther-like in appearance. Mm-hmm. It is carnivorous and feeds on birds. So, not really dangerous to humans.
No, he chill.
Now, Fiskerton Phantom was reported on August 27th, 1997 by four girls between the ages of 9 and 14 who were staying at a caravan park next to a pub at Short Ferry, a small hamlet next to Fiskerton.
Wait. I'm so sorry. They're staying in an RV next to a pub. What a popular destination zone that is. Hey, do you want to go stay outside of my pop-up tent outside of the McDonald's?
Now, they describe seeing a 4-foot-tall, jet-black, bear-like creature eating a pheasant. The girl, scared, fled immediately to seek help in the pub. When they returned...
Nothing better than getting a bunch of drunk guys to come out.
So when they returned, they saw large paw prints, and motorists reported the beast again that evening near where the girls had seen it. There were several more reports in the area during 1997. Now, I think it's important to note that this was such a big, like, two sightings. There's only been two sightings of Fiskerton Phantom, okay? Only two. But because of this, there's a show called Fiskerton Saturday.
No,
The Secret Saturdays was the name of the show, where they actually made an animated character called Fiskerton Saturday who makes appearances on this show. Like, they made an animated character based on this creature.
How delightful.
So on this cartoon, you know, there's this little, you know...
He doesn't look little.
Yeah, no. He does not look little. He's on the show. His speech is Lemurian. Enhanced strength, agility, stamina. He has a Tibetan fire sword temporarily on the cartoon.
That's nice to know. That's cool. Nice to know. Hey, you know what? If I had a Tibetan fire sword for even a second, you better bet you I'm putting that on my resume.
So Fiskerton Saturday is one of the main protagonists of Secret Saturdays. He's a protagonist. He's an 8-foot tall gorilla cat with tawny fur, so like they doubled his size it came to the show.
Well, you know, they say TV adds a couple of pounds
and a few inches apparently. So he's apparently, you know, loosely based on this, based off of, you know, the cryptid race of and Lemurians.
What's the TV show again?
The TV show is called,
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's a British TV show. That would be why.
Okay. Yeah.
It is called, The Secret Saturdays. And The Secret Saturdays.
I'm 100%.
Actually, no, it's an American one. It's an American animated television series created by Canadian cartoonist Jay Stevens. For Cartoon Network. This was on Cartoon Network. Huh. There are several sneak peeks of the show on September 1st, 2008, and it debuted October 3rd, 2008. It resolves around the titular Saturdays, a family of cryptozoologists consisting of parents Doc and Drew Saturday and their 11-year-old son Zach. The Saturdays are members of secret scientists, blah, blah, blah. As the foremost experts in cryptids, the Saturdays are responsible for studying and protecting cryptids. Saturdays travel in their airship with their adopted cryptid family members, Fiskerton, Komodo, and Zahn. While Zach strives to help his parents with their missions and to master his mysterious innate ability to influence and control the actions of cryptids. So, if you're into cryptids, this is the animated show for you.
Hi. Huh. I deeply regret I never watched this. This is the intro to Secret Saturday right now, and I 100% guarantee everybody, I don't care if it's going to cost me $300. I'm buying every episode of this, and I'm watching it. I'm going to remember. This is going to get so hardwired into my DNA, I will be able to quote it as regularly as Gravity Falls.
So, definitely tell me how that show goes because I'm super interested. I think that would be a great laugh, and I might try to watch some of it too.
Look, he's got a big fire club.
Well, yeah, what did I say? He had the fire sword of...
Tibetan fire sword.
Yeah, the Tibetan fire sword. It's only temporary.
It looks like the older... It looks like the older sister has the Tibetan fire sword. Mm. The kid has the Tibetan fire club. And the dad looks like he's Red Skull from... I can't believe I've never heard of this before. This was my jam as a kid. I was 100% the weird kid who wanted to go out looking for Nessie. That was me. So why did I never hear of this?
We have built an obsession here.
So yeah.
There was a crossover episode with Ben 10.
That's not surprising.
The heck?
So yeah. So that is Fiskerton Phantom. So honestly, like I know that we normally rate these on scary, like I'm thinking one, like it just eats.
It eats birds. Yeah. It's a one.
Yeah.
I saw that image that you showed me in the dead of night outside of my RV.
Yeah.
If I saw a Furby who never skipped chest day, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm gone.
Yeah, no, I guess because like we gave the ones that couldn't hop on your bed if you put them up. I'll give this a two because, you know, that I think could actually probably do some damage.
That's
fair. Yeah, he's just so like...
He's jacked, man. He's roided.
Like, even if he doesn't kill me, he could rob me. He could come up to me and be like, give me $10.
No, you're
I need to go buy a pheasant.
I need to buy a turkey leg.
Take it, man. Take it. He could just intimidate me and make me listen to long stories.
Oh, man.
Well, gentlemen. Now seems as good a time as any. I've placed some cups in front of you. That center one stays where it is for a moment. The other ones, this is the bit that you're used to. If you want to give the old sniff test.
Why can't you buy anything that tastes like something that was designed not by a PhD chemist?
Is this sugar-free? Because like it smells sweet, but we've been duped before where things smell overly sweet.
I believe it's sugar-free.
So this is going to taste awful. Josh is going for it. Oh,
no. Right. I just was fake. I was fake swallowing it.
So, any initial impressions?
Just act like you're about to like swallow it and then huff it. I'm alarmed that I can get that much flavor from that technique.
Yeah.
What are you getting? What are you picking up from your? I feel like
lime. Like some sort of tropical fruit.
Yeah, punch, like I get that, but I also get like, you know,
Cotton candy.
Well, no, the gingerbread Mountain Dew.
Oh,
interesting.
Gross. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I.
Yes, ginger, ginger, ginger,
yeah,
ginger,
ginger. Ginger is so powerful.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to take that first cursory sip,
it tastes like Christmas.
It does. It does.
It's cinnamon. Is it cinnamon?
It does.
I want to state this. This is the first time that Steven has bought something that is not the most hideous, tastes like paint thinner. This, yeah, I could actually imagine drinking, yeah, the can.
I could enjoy this, honestly.
Oh, that goes a little too far. It's a little too in the LaCroix territory of just missing something flavorful, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it was ran by ginger and cinnamon sticks.
So, you're stumbling near the correct answer, actually. Uh-oh. So, first, and I'll say this to you.
It's reindeer poop, you freaks. You like reindeer poop. Who's the weirdos now?
Father Christmas. So, let me describe this to you. Close your eyes for a moment. Just, you know, just visualize this. And then I want you to take one more sip. And then all will be revealed. I want you to picture that large Coke just full of ice that you get from McDonald's. Oh. That you leave in your car.
Yeah,
overnight.
That's 100% that flavor.
Yeah, and so go ahead and take another sip. I want you to just picture that, just that warm, no ice, just really watered down.
Yep. Yeah.
Somehow still fizzy, but yeah, no, that's,
yeah,
cola.
Yeah, very
that's
carbonated.
Cola.
Yeah, that is cola.
That is cola.
So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Focus.
Focus. Focus.
Cola. Natural, energizing, sparkling water.
And it could not be more clear.
Nope.
Yeah.
It is as clear gets.
That could be Sprite.
Or Pepsi Crystal.
Oh.
We don't speak of Pepsi Crystal.
So, on this can here, we actually have a description from Pahocus. And it says here, you could call us sparkling water. You could also call us a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator that combines simple ingredients to create the perfect guilt-free pick-me-up your body will crave to feel its best.
See, I can't tell if this particular brand of drink is the I'm not like other girls of seltzers. Or if this is the guy on the street corner trying to sell me something questionable that will definitely lead to a chemical dependency for the rest of my life.
The can's tinted.
And the label is definitely peelable, if that's, yeah, what you're wondering. It's very much
it's
so.
It's just a plastic sleeve.
Yep.
Okay. Right now, I could pull out a Mountain Dew can.
Yeah. And it's printed.
Don't ignore the fact that I had the quick access here, but behold, it's printed on there. This is somebody who couldn't commit to the bit. Oh, you're gonna cut right through the can.
I mean, I have a shotgun that can.
it's a Pahocus.
Okay. What I appreciate about it is like the person couldn't. The company that's making this couldn't commit to printing the can.
Look at how dented that is.
Just printed the sleeves that put onto the can because that was cheaper and a more safe bet. They're so not sure of their own success that they couldn't print it onto their own can.
I drank this stuff for like a year that was...
I thought you were talking about this.
Oh, God, no. Not ever.
And I was going to say, that's pathetic.
This is pretty bad. I drank this stuff for a while that, man, I wish I could find it. But again, like all of these other brands that I've shown you thus far, all of them are companies that have folded, no longer exist. I drank this stuff called, it was like EXP Energy, I think it was. And it was just like the most...
That's so clear. You want to top off?
Yeah.
It's the most blatant, shameless pandering to the gamer community ever. And it was exactly that same material. I think all of those cans are made, I think all of these drinks are made in the same factory. And I think it's just a rotation of companies that all collapse.
You know, my doctor also forbid me from drinking caffeinated beverages for 3 months.
Well, don't worry. It has 75 milligrams. Equal to 8 ounces of coffee.
We're tapering down the caffeine content every week here.
I appreciate that.
I got you, man. We started.
Well,
we
the
started
doctor
with,
appreciates that.
We started with a caffeinated seltzer with a shot of 5-hour energy in it.
Oh, you mean you started off with hell in chemical form. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump to the next story here.
Okay, so the show by, I don't know. I don't know if you know about this, but there's this obscure animated web series from 1998 called The Show. It's this cartoon where a guy gets stuck in his imagination. No one except me has found this show. I found it one day after mucking around on the Wayback Machine. I searched up web series, and the first result was a website named ClickMeShow.com. I clicked on it.
You didn't tell me you did the voice acting in My Friendly Neighborhood.
It redirected me to a flash page with a character. It reminded me of Homestar Runner. I clicked on the enter button and brought me to a main page with Homestar. He said, "Little guy," when I rolled over any button. I instantly remembered this show. It was so gosh darn funny, man. It's sad that the show is gone, but then I noticed a big blue button. I clicked on the button, which said, "New episode," and it brought me to a webpage. It loaded another flash webpage, and it was called blood.swoof. It loaded up and showed a dancing man. This went on for a whole minute, and it quickly switched.
A whole minute. You're not going to click away from a thing with a dancing man for a whole minute. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, no. Man, I know these flash pages. They're not complicated dancing. It's just like, yeah, 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 yeah. For a minute, he just sat there and was like, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You danced, yeah. Dude. You danced, dude.
Okay. So, this went on for a whole minute, and it quickly switched. Okay. To Dead Homestar. There was blood. It spelled out, "You must run. Run as fast as you can." After 2 minutes, it cut to... Man, this guy has nothing better to do.
This is a patient individual.
It cut to little guy running. He ran for 50 seconds and tripped over a rock. He hit his head hard on the ground and something zipped by, and all that was left was his organs and his skeleton. I would like to point out that skin is technically an organ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine.
So his blood? No, his blood done got scooped.
But everything else is there.
Yeah.
He was a vampire.
He's just dry.
Mummified. At this point, I tried to exit out my browser that I use flash websites on. Netscape. Oh, dear. And even tried to force quit the program, but it didn't work. All it did was close out the task manager. I even tried to exit Windows, but it made the flash full screen. All I had to do was watch. All I had to do was watch. Then it cuts to a man. He looked eerily similar to my old Gotcha Life OC. He pulled out a knife and stabbed himself. And then it cut to his blood, and it said this.
"I'm watching you. You will die, and I will see you very, very soon."
I then smashed my computer once it switched to a bloody logo. I think it said Middleman Incorporated, a company whose logo was not bloody, and a company I work at. I didn't want to die. Now I am a sad man, and I keep waking up with blood on my legs and arms. I don't know who's doing this, but I don't want to die.
Please.
Please help me. I've heard that many people who watched this episode got an email 30 minutes after watching. One moment. I just got an email. Ba, ba, ba.
I'll have you know, I got almost none of the references in this story.
Same.
Okay. Well, walk with me here. Do you guys know Homestar Runner?
No.
What? Okay. Well, yeah. So Homestar Runner was being went ahead and generated it down here at the bottom. It's a web-based comedy series created by Matt Chapman in the 1980s and 1990s. So
it's for old people.
Yeah. Yeah, this means it was not a 12-year-old who wrote this.
No.
This was an adult.
Oh boy. Also, what is gotcha?
Not a clue.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Nope.
Gotcha life, yeah.
Some of the things that I really appreciate about this story here was it reminded me of Homestar Runner. In the way that it was Homestar Runner. Right? Because it was like, oh, yeah, no.
That's exactly who this is.
It redirected me to a flash page with a character. It reminded me of Homestar Runner. And I clicked on the enter button, and it brought me to a main page with Homestar. So maybe not the same thing. He is missing the runner. Maybe he's just Homestar. Homestar standing. Anyway, there's that. Also, one of the things I really love about this is that nobody's ever heard of the show before. I had to go onto the Wayback Machine and search up web series, and that was the first result on the Wayback Machine. But I had to go search that up because no one's ever heard of it. It's just me. It's just me. I'm the only one, except for I hear that lots of people, when they watch this episode, get an email 30 minutes after.
So just for context, Gotcha Life is a role-playing video game that allows users to create and customize anime-style characters on mobile device.
That makes too much sense.
Okay, yeah, nope.
That's uncomfortable. It
so, Anime Man did done off himself.
Yay, otaku.
Yeah, so there's that one. There's the fact that Control-Alt-Deleting just force quit. Okay, also,
how do you guys keep finding these episodes where it's just it's just all PC navigation?
Okay. Think about
poor
the environment.
PC navigation.
Yes.
Think about the environment that these people live in. These are people who hang out on their computer way too much.
Yeah.
This is their world.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say, right? Like, it's Middleman Inc. is just low-hanging fruit, right? It obviously doesn't exist, but it happens to be the company that he works with. Is this some sort of, are we in some MatPat lore situation here where it turns out his company is, like, plotting his demise?
Yeah, he's asking too many questions around the office, and yeah, going to get off. Off, I should say. Getting off is something completely different.
Oh, also, I'm so sorry. I deleted a portion of this story.
Oh?
Yes. When I pulled it off of the Trollpasta wiki, the person who uploaded it said, I added an ending to it. So I removed the added ending. But the added ending was 14 spaces, 14, like, enter buttons, and then... And then I died.
And then I died. Okay. Let's just get to the rating of this.
Yeah, because I need to get to my part. I'm so excited for my part. You all should be really excited for my part. This is going to be the best time that we ever had.
One. There's no scary.
It's scary that he broke his computer.
No. He broke his monitor.
He broke his Middleman Inc. Maybe it was an all-in-one, Bradley. Did you consider that? Maybe it's an all-in-one.
Fair. Fair.
It's a one.
Yeah. It's particularly scary to me that this was written by somebody old enough to make deep cuts that I don't recognize. It's two for me.
Okay. Real big fan of Homestar Runner 1980s, 1990s, but also still plays on Gotcha Life. So.
Well, sorry.
Diverse range of interests.
I'm also curious to know if he had a profile created on one of those incel forums. I'm just spitballing here.
Yep. Okay, I'm actually really curious when the release was. Gotcha Life release date. 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. That hurts, don't it?
Gotcha Life released in 2018. Followed afterwards by Gotcha Club in 2020.
We can actually go ahead and scientifically put down, we went ahead and sleuthed the exact timeline that the story was written in. There was a 2-year frame that this man could have written the story in.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. No. Josh, why don't you tell us about this Hollow Earth?
Oh, can I tell you about the Hollow Earth?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So first things first, this podcast does not allow me enough time to tell you about the Hollow Earth. The Hollow Earth is so much. There's so much going on with the Hollow Earth. There's so much going on with the ground underneath our feet. When we start talking about Nazis and we start talking about Hitler riding on a dinosaur right now in the Hollow Earth because he's still alive because the Agarthians adopted him as their deity, we are talking about a conspiracy theory that I could go on for days. Days. But I figured I have to give you a priming course on the Hollow Earth. Okay. So, right now, scientists tell you that beneath our feet is what?
Dirt. A core? A molten core?
Dirt, rock, mantle, iron core. Well, scientists are trying to hide from you the fact that inside of the Earth is a secret land called Agartha. And right underneath our feet, if you could get a shovel and just dig, you would find that the Earth is actually has a miniature Earth on the inside. Yes, that's right. If you punch through the hole of the Earth, you will find that the Earth has another inside with its own separate sun on the inside.
And with a sun?
Yes, yes. The sun is on the inside of the Earth, which gives it all of its natural light and radiation. And it's important for that because this place is a tropical paradise.
Now, does this sun all, is that what contributes to the melting rock in our volcanoes? Like, you know?
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, this is important because I need you guys to hang with me here, okay?
We're hanging.
Because this is a story that was so beloved that famous British author J.R.R. Tolkien liked it so much that what did he do? He made a fantasy world set in this place. That's right, Middle Earth literally refers to the Earth in the middle of the Earth. That is confirmed. What? Okay. What? Now, you may be saying, Josh, what is this Hollow Earth like? Well, I will tell you. Genesis 1:1-3 talks about this Hollow Earth. I'm sorry, Genesis 1-3 talks about the Hollow Earth. That's right. It's the Garden of Eden, where man first started, was not on a mountain, as theologians speculated. Au contraire, no. It has been the anti-mountain. It is the opposite of a mountain. It is beneath us.
The great cosmic innie.
So, right now, as we speak, there is a Hollow Earth, and the true humans live here in Agartha. That's right, the ones on the outside, we are diseased and riddled, we are impure. But what would happen if the humans were true and had never been... What would happen? Save your comments for the answer. I'm breaking your world and showing you the inside of it. A Hollow Earth. Okay. So on the inside are where the pure humans live. Do you want to take a guess at what people imagine the pure, untainted race of humans look like?
White.
Okay, you've got 1 point. Keep going. Keep in mind, Hitler was obsessed with this place, apparently.
Blonde.
Oh, keep going.
Blue eyes.
Okay, we need one more important detail. 12 foot tall. That's right. There, in the center of the hollow earth, there are 12 foot tall humans. Now you would say.
So the only reason that you got evicted is you were too short.
Yes, apparently. I'm half the height. They would say, Josh, you are but a toddler to the Agarthians, as is their true name.
They didn't have any room for an.
They didn't have any rooms for a dwarf. So, yes, no. inside. It's the land of Agarthia, and yes, no. Let's go ahead and fill out the space of Agartha right now, okay? It's a tropical paradise, right? It's a one-world government where everybody is free, and they don't fight or have wars, but they're also incredibly technologically savvy because Hitler was stealing technology from the Agarthians, which is why he did so well in World War II, except for the part that he didn't have any technology that didn't really... Anyway, ignoring that, right? He had a fancy tank. If my history lessons remember correctly, he had a good tank system, which is why he beat Poland so well. But other than that, I mean, we didn't see any kind of, like, death lasers. But they apparently had death lasers in development, if you talk to the right conspiracy theories. Anyway, so...
Hail Hydra.
In the center of the Earth, too, there's all sorts of extinct animals that us impure land, impure topsiders have killed off. Now, I need you to also understand this, right? Because you may say, that's awesome. How do I get to Agartha right now? Good luck. To find Agartha, you need to find one of the several access points. Right now, the several access points are theorized about where they are, and nobody knows exactly for sure, except for definitely Antarctica. There's definitely one there. And also, one inside of the United Nations building.
Makes sense.
Yes, that's right. If you go to New York City.
Where all the lizard people are.
Well, I imagine that they need to have good communications with the Agarthians. So anyway, if you go to the United Nations building and you type in the right key code on the elevator, it will take you straight down to the hollow earth where apparently Hitler is still alive. We will go more into the Nazi connections with Agartha later, I promise. But maybe we'll talk more. We'll have a whole separate thing about how the Nazis stole technology from
Hollow
the
Agarthians. Hollow Earth special, question mark?
Huh? Is that a hole you need to have filled for your lives? No, you can't, because it's hollow. Now, ignore all the scientists who tell you that the Earth has to be a certain weight for gravity to work that it does, because they're all in on the lie. They're all part of the lizard-controlled people who are all keeping you happy with the top side, Lynn. But you know that right beneath your surface, there's a cure for cancer, and it's being guarded by a 12-foot blonde elf that J.R.R. Tolkien knew about. Also, I do appreciate, and now this doesn't also necessarily line up with the Hollow Earth theory, but I do appreciate that Ian Colfer also got in on the Hollow Earth Advanced Society Underneath Our Feet action.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The Artemis Fowl books, yeah.
Very much so.
Very much so. So, all of us, we're all looking up to the sky, to the stars, to the fake moon. All of us are looking for that as our advancement for society. But have we ever stopped and asked, is the answer down? No! Because we're cowards.
You know,
I'm grabbing a shovel right now. I'm coming for my people.
There are a surprising amount of fantasy books that have high-tech civilizations down below.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, does Atlantis tie into this too? I'm assuming it has to.
I do not want to spoil the surprise about how there used to be a whole separate continent that existed topside with a highly advanced civilization, but they disappeared because they nuked themselves to death 4 billion years ago, and now society had to reset to let humans back up. I don't want to ruin that surprise. But yes, definitely, the Lemurians are still alive.
Well,
the last known location of them was at Mount St. Helens, and they blew it up because we got too close.
Well, welcome to...
I'm coming for you, Agartha! Right now! I'm on my way! I just need to find a shovel big enough.
So we will be setting up a GoFundMe called Build the Hole. Mexico's going to pay for it.
We'll be running the Kickstarter campaign for it's actually just a Save Josh fund.
it's either give Joshua a hole deep enough to prove that the earth isn't hollow, or pay for his therapy, and as he has to go inside of the hospital because conspiracy theories have destroyed him.
You know, you talk about how your doctor's like, you can't have too much acidity, but I feel like your blood is just acid at this point, where you're like,
No joke, the last time I went into the doctor's office, my blood pressure was so high that they took it, and then the person stopped and stared at it for a second and went, whoa. And then when the doctor came out, the doctor stared at the blood pressure and stared at it and went, I'm going to have the nurse retake that. That can't be the blood pressure.
Oh, it's...
Was this day after my 24-hour binge of conspiracy theories? Yes, it was.
Now, Josh, I can one-up that.
Well,
because the last time I was at the doctor last year, I went in, got my blood pressure taken, and the nurse looked at me and said, are you currently experiencing chest pains? And I went, no. Should I be?
Oh, this is going to be a really sad show one day when you guys both have compound complex heart attacks and it's just an empty camera shot.
It's just an empty camera shot, except you will have a video of me on my deathbed as I record off my phone saying,
take me to the earth, they can fix me there,
in the most Alex Jones way possible.
It's just gonna be me on my phone saying, if I die, I didn't die by natural causes. They got me. They got me. Do not believe me.
Check my basement for a tunnel. It's there.
Dang it, Hitler got me.
What kind of dinosaur is he riding, by the way?
Definitely. It has to be a Stegosaurus. I've thought a lot about it.
Of course.
I've thought a lot about it. And I was like, first T-Rex, but no. That's trite. And I think he'd appreciate the good long base and stability of a Stegosaurus.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to blitzkrieg on a dinosaur that large, though.
He doesn't need to worry about it. He owns the world through the Agarthian lizard man connection.
Oh, man. Well, Steven...
Which, again, I literally, as I was doing research for this episode, I kept finding things about how they found ancient dig sites in the Middle East, and they had human statues, and no joke, next to them, lizardmen statues, and it wasn't like they were making separate statues for, like, gods that they had, no, it was like they were displayed in the same place, in the same style. There was just human statues and lizardmen statues.
Like it was just a diorama.
Yeah, like it was just like an average day, so I don't know what to tell you. Lizardmen apparently are real too.
Oh. Join the collective.
Oh, be still my beating heart.
I'm sorry, everybody. I feel like I get so unhinged during the conspiracy theories. Last week, I got unhinged about Bussard's vomiting meat from the sky.
It's endlessly farmable content. Oh, never stop. Man. Never stop.
Well, Steven, do you have a question for us?
Yeah. He has many at this point.
One of them being why.
It's kind of boiled down just to one, and it's should I walk or run to the nearest exit?
There's a tall blonde boy talking about how Hitler's underneath him, and he's trying to dig a hole to him.
So I have two questions for you, actually. The first is, it's not even a question, it's just a statement, actually. So I searched around Kiwara for some fun about vampires, and you know what the number one you know what the number one most
spent a minimal amount of time with that website. I can only imagine what you found.
Now, it honestly not much.
Wow, that's so disappointing.
But you know why? Because the vast majority of postings, I had to find something in the sea of the same question, which was all just, are they real? I think my neighbor's a vampire.
Stepdad? Stepdad Ron? Stepdad Ron vampire?
Sug. So I found this one though that I think is really quite fascinating. It's a cool hypothetical question. So I'm gonna paraphrase a little bit here, just because it was long and meandering and potentially inebriated.
The question or the person writing it?
Both, honestly.
Inebriated on
human blood.
Bradley, I'm so disappointed. I was trying to stare at you while I said that so I could get your reaction. You're just on your phone. I know you're like...
just do a stereotypical cool same. Guy over here.
Not the same. Look me in the eyes when I talk about human blood.
Okay, Steven, your paraphrase.
Yes, so we all know that vampires are susceptible to certain, let's say, game-breaking exploits.
Yeah.
Correct? Mm-hmm. You know, they can't come in if you, if you don't invite them in. Sunlight is kind of a big no-no for them.
Unless you're a Twilight vampire, then you just
these
shimmer.
Are not sparkly.
Shine
fun.
Bright like a diamond.
These are not of the sparkly or the fun variety, or the Edward Cullen have my babies variety. These are the old.
Those ones are currently in the center of the Hollow Earth.
And 12
That's where the shiny vampires are.
They got healed with the advanced technology.
Indeed. So there are these certain exploits, correct? So the question posed is this. You're attacked by a vampire at night. Mm. You cannot be in a church.
Yeah.
And you cannot deny access. All of these are public spaces, essentially. Okay. They're public domain, you know?
So it's late night in a McDonald's.
This is the crux of the question. You get to pick within those confines where you do battle with your enemy.
Gotcha.
I've got my answer.
An Italian restaurant.
We have the same thought! There's garlic in everything.
I'll just keep throwing lasagna at him until he gets sad.
Okay, so I feel left out because my first thought was... Lumberyard?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty smart too, actually. Yeah.
Just like, you know, like you guys are like, garlic, just gonna throw it at him. I'm like, I'm gonna drive a stake through its heart.
I'll kill him. We're like, I'm gonna scrape some sliver.
Okay, I'm just trying to think. A vampire, mano y mano, right?
Like, yeah.
Mano y monster. I'm not doing well off of that. No. Even if I have a wooden stake, he's faster and stronger.
Yeah, they're canonically very fast and very strong.
Well, right. Yeah. See, this is why I said I feel left out. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying I'm very wrong. I'm just dumb and forgot that they didn't like garlic. And so I was like, crap, what do I do?
Valid.
Wood. Tanning salon. Tanning salon.
There it is.
Oh, you know what?
Sun your buns.
Dispensary.
Dispensary.
They grow on site in the bigger ones, and they need giant ultraviolet grow lights.
There we freaking are. It has to be Go find your friend who is growing weed in their basement right now. That's where you do it.
And do battle with the living dead.
Well, see, and see, the thing
if
is...
If nothing else, at least you can comfort yourself before you
well,
go.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, in those places, even if it was, you know, where it's like, no, we can't let that person... They don't care. They're like, yeah, will you invite me in? Yeah, dude. Come on.
Come chill.
Come chill, man. Well. Thanks. Well, here's a question. Since we're on the contact high,
wait, no.
Oh, interesting.
Better off get. What if you had your friend upstairs who sold weed get stupid high? Vampire comes in like, oh yeah, easy snack. He gets high. Now
you fight in the lumberyard.
Now you take him downstairs. You shine a light on him, and then you take a wooden spoon and you just start thrusting. You just gotta keep going.
Why a spoon? Out of anything, why a spoon?
What person has a sharpened wooden stake in their house?
I'm not saying most people, but I'm saying most people would have a chair they could break and get a...
What? A spoon's halfway to Sharp Town. You just gotta break the spoon. Just break the spoon. Bam, now you've got two wooden stakes.
I'm telling you, I got this one. This is personal experience. Not with a vampire, but with a bat. Wooden kebab skewers.
No.
Lots of them.
Yeah, but like you're trying 12. To stab through a monster's heart. You're going to duct tape 12 wooden kebabs together?
No, no. One at a time.
Yes.
Do you think you're going to get through a human, like, flesh and, like, rib
I don't think Josh has come to the understanding of what we're talking about. I did this.
To a bat.
To a bat.
Yeah, but, like, that's a small mammal. It's a small man.
You're not bothered by the fact that he stabbed a bat 12 times with 12 kebabs before it died.
Well, there's your first answer for why it's a small mammal 12 times and it still wasn't dead. That's what you're going to go into combat with? It took you 12 times. That's 12 times you could have died, son.
But think, if the vampire turns into the bat...
Then it's still a bad weapon, because you know, 12 times it didn't work. Oh. I'd rather have the thing that works the first time.
This whole time, I've had this picture in my mind. I've been debating about whether or not to throw in Home Depot as an option. And now I'm just picturing trying to skewer a vampire... With a dowel rod. And and him just standing there, just going, boom, boom. Just very politely, you know, just letting you have your moment before you die.
You just like, okay, so like, he's at one end of the aisle. You just grab the dowel rod at the other end of the store, and you're like, and you throw it, and it doesn't even make it to him. It just goes like five feet across the floor. And just, and just like hits his foot. And it gives you like a courteous, ow.
No, oh, man, you really got me. Oh, man.
And good then, effort.
Next thing you know, he's behind you saying, shh, it's done. Shh, don't worry about
Why
it.
Why is this particular vampire both my dad and an assistant coach on a T-ball team?
You're okay, bud. You're okay.
Oh, well, I don't know if that was entirely helpful, but man, was it fun. So before we enter into our AI generated fun, I think we should definitely plug a couple things.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have
first our computer, or else we'll die halfway through the recording. That's a really funny joke. All right, so let's start from the top. We're ignoring that.
So,
cut out my bad jokes. Make me sound funny.
So we have some viewing goals. We hit our first one, which was Sonic.exe.
We hit our second one.
Yeah, we hit our second one, which is the reading the
viewer generated.
Yeah, viewer. Well,
viewer suggestion.
Viewer suggested story. So we're waiting to see your guys' suggestions, and then hopefully we can work that into the next episode.
Honestly, Mom, just send it in. Okay, Mom, Mom, I know you listen.
You got this, Bev. We believe in you.
And you know what you want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a story picked. You've had it for years.
Harry Potter and the spooky thing in my closet.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a Josh original, if I'm being honest. But no, so that'll be the next goal, and we can't wait to get that out to you. So I will say that our next goals are the dramatic readings of the spooky story and then the Waterford Sheep Squatch.
Waterford Sheep Squatch.
Which is both 100 and 500.
Yes, that's right.
Respectively. Indeed. And so while we have that coming up, and we're super excited for that, so keep on sharing, keep on sending this, because the more views and interactions we get, the sooner we can do that. Josh, why don't you tell them about listening parties?
Okay, look, Miguel, I need you to get some of your friends together, 3 or 4 friends, and then we will make custom intros. Bradley and I will record an intro. We'll say we're proud of you. We like you a lot. And you've done really good. You've done good work this year. Here's your big promotion.
And if you don't, there are going to be grave consequences. This is a threat. Let's be clear.
Okay, well, Miguel's an actual listener of the show, so just don't. Maybe don't threaten.
No,
don't
do
threaten.
Threat.
This is hypothetical.
Threaten the listeners.
Miguel, I'm sorry.
You should be sorry. He's a cool dude. And he does great work for Burger King. So, okay.
So, yeah. So definitely have those listening parties, 4 or more, and we'll record a
4. If you get 4 friends, you get 4 buds together, and then you tell us about it either on Facebook or by our email at thespoopspod@gmail.com.
I was going to say, yeah, reaching out DM on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, through the email, through the website. We will definitely, we'll get that to you. Let us know the best way to send that file to you. And yeah, it'll be great. So this week, I think the story we're putting forth is the first story.
Definitely.
So the first story that we read tonight,
the story by Creepy Xbox.
The Mark. Yeah, The Mark. Mm.
Yes.
Will be posted along with this episode on our website at thespoopspod.com.
For sure.
Feel free to grab that, revise it, send it into us, and man, really up that scare factor. I think there's a couple really cool things you can do with them eyeballs that just make them pop.
Tell us what he wanted.
Actually, don't tell us what he wanted, because that makes the story like intriguing. What he should do is tell me what his mom wanted. It's time for us to engage in the part of the show that we love to do the most. We make AI write for us a story out of keywords and make a garbled bunch of hot garbage just for us, because AI can do that for us, and we love AI. So here, this week's garbled set of key phrases was creepy Xbox, Homestar Runner, alien big cats, vampires, and of course the Hollow Earth.
Now, and I think it's important to note that this is Spoops first. We have Steven reading for our character as well.
Yes, that's right. Indeed. We drafted Steven in. So first, as always, I love to include the little friendly thing that the AI says at the beginning of it before it does its horrible dark deeds for me. So, sure, I can write you a creepy story about a creepy Xbox, Homestar Runner, vampires, alien big cats, and the Hollow Earth. Here's what I came up with. It was a dark and stormy night, and Jake was bored and decided to play his old Xbox that he found in the attic. He plugged it in and turned it on. He was surprised to see it had only one game installed, Homestar Runner. He had never heard of it before, but it looked like a fun cartoon adventure game. He inserted the disc and started the game. The game began with a cheerful intro song and a colorful menu screen. Jake chose to play as Homestar, the main character of the game. He was greeted by a friendly voice that said,
"Hey, Homestar, welcome to Free Country, USA. You have to help me stop the evil king of town from taking over the world. Are you ready?"
Jake pressed the start button and the game began. The game was simple and easy. Jake had to run around the map, collecting items, solving puzzles, and talking to other characters. The game had a lot of humor and references to pulp culture. Jake enjoyed playing it and soon forgot all about the storm outside. He played for hours until he reached the final level. He had to face the king of town
in his castle. The voice said,
"This is it, Homestar, the final showdown. You have to defeat the king of town and save the world. Good luck."
Jake entered into the castle and saw the king of town sitting on his throne. He looked like a fat man with a crown and a cape. He had a sinister smile on his face. The king of town said,
"Well, well, well. Look who's here. The so-called hero of Free Country USA. You think you can stop me? You think you can save the world? You are nothing but a fool. A fool who has fallen into my trap."
Jake was confused and said,
"What trap? What are you talking about?"
The king of town laughed maniacally and said,
"You see, this is not a game. This is a portal. A portal to another dimension. A dimension where I am the supreme ruler. A dimension where I have unleashed my army of vampires, alien big cats, and hollow earth creatures. And you, my friend, are my latest victim."
Jake. Jake was shocked and he said,
"I'm shocked. What? That's impossible. That's crazy."
The king of town said,
"Oh, it is very possible and very real. And very soon you will be one of them. One of my loyal servants. One of my undead minions. One of my bloodthirsty beasts. One of my hollow earth dwellers."
Jake tried to turn off the Xbox, but it was too late. The screen flashed and he felt a surge of electricity run through his body. He screamed in pain and terror as he was sucked through the portal. He found himself in a dark and twisted version of Free Country USA. He saw vampires flying in the skies, alien big cats prowling the streets, and hollow earth creatures emerging from the ground. They all looked at him with hunger and malice in their eyes. He heard the voice again, but this time it was not friendly or cheerful. It was cold and cruel. It said,
"Welcome to my world, Homestar. Welcome to your nightmare."
I hope you enjoyed my story.